We are an ummah of mercy that follows a prophet that was sent as a mercy, that follows a book that contains mercy and begins almost every single chapter in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful.
Joining us today is notable author, scholar, and academic, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Ninawi, most notably known for his book of love and his commentary on the 40 hadith of mercy and those who practice mercy.
All the way from Atlanta, Georgia, he joined us here in Sydney in our studio. This is what took place.
To reduce the faith to a set of do and don't is reductionist to say the least. But we need to focus on, why am I Muslim? Who is Allah? How do I get to know His attributes and Him? How do I experience His closeness and love? Love and mercy are the imams, the leader of knowledge. And knowledge without having an imam is lost, is weaponized knowledge. Our whole faith of Islam is, I love you. The fact is, you're always in His presence. The fact is, He's always present. The issue is, most of the time, you're not. Hey, I climbed the bridge.
You climbed the bridge.
Harbour Bridge. Absolutely. Even we haven't even climbed.
I haven't even done that. I've been here for 10 years.
My whole life. Wow. Were you scared?
No. It actually is a wonderful experience.
You're not scared of heights?
I'm not that scared of heights.
A true Sydney-sider, I think that's we can say. It's official.
A view of Sydney, better than the most of us ever experienced in our lives.
Right? Sheikh, today, on this topic of this episode, is on mercy. And you've had your commentary on the 40 hadith of mercy. And this is something that's kind of a practice that isn't adhered to too much in today's world. That's not prevalent. I mean, as Kamal said, nearly all the chapters in the Quran start with Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And also, as you've mentioned in the book, I believe mercy is an attribute that is mentioned 315 times in the Quran, the most prevalent attribute. I believe it's 43 times of pardon and 43 times of patience and 42 of pardon. Forgive me if that's wrong, but I think it's a similar number towards that. Sheikh, I have to say, to lay the groundwork and the foundations of the conversation that inshallah we tend to have, the definition of rahmah, is it confined to mercy alone?
No, it's much wider than that. And like you very nicely said, it's mercy and its derivatives are mentioned about 315 times throughout the Quran. In addition to what Kamal mentioned, every single chapter of the book starts with the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, let's say, the All-Merciful. But in reality, rahmah comes from the root letter, the three-letter root, ra-ha-meem in the Arabic language, right? And ra-ha-meem stands for rahim. And rahim is also, happens to be the womb of the mother. That's what rahim is. Mm. And you all know that the womb of the mother does not simply provide mercy, but provides love, provides care, provides provision, provides nutrition, sustenance, protection, kindness. So when we say the meaning of rahmah is mercy, is reductionist by definition. It's maybe we could say the least loving mercy, since I can't put all these words together, and you know, otherwise it'll become a long thing. So the Bismillah ar-Rahman, in the name of Allah, the lovingly merciful, the lovingly merciful, maybe.
The provider, the compassionate, everything.
It's correct, right?
Very difficult to.
It's encompassing. That. And that's why, if you notice, the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, though metaphorically, not in reality, because they cannot be shared or associated, but metaphorically could be given to the creation in a sense of what? Al-Kareem means the generous. Mm-hmm. And I could say, for example, you know what? You are Al-Kareem amongst us here, which I mean it on a human level, obviously. But Ar-Rahman or Allah Allah or Ar-Rahman, cannot be given even metaphorically to the creation. Mm-hmm. You cannot say someone is Ar-Rahman. You can say someone is Rahim, mm-hmm. but not Ar-Rahman. That's why Allah in the Quran says, قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ. He specifies these two names. Allah, al-ism al-jami', the name that brings all the meanings of the names of Allah together. Allah. Those we know and those we don't know. Mm-hmm. And Ar-Rahman is the other name that encompasses all the beauty of the names of Allah.
Well, it encapsulates all the beauties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you mentioned something very powerful. You said, Rahman is only for Allah, but Rahim, someone can be Rahim. And the one who is described as Rahim in the Quran, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ sallallahu alayhi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy to not mankind, I think many people will translate as a mercy to mankind, but everything that exists, mm-hmm. right? I want to ask a question to you or pose a scenario to you. A non-Muslim comes to you, sure, you're from America, you're now in Australia, and they ask you the question. In your book, it says he's a mercy to everything that exists, to alameen, to the worlds and everything. Prove it. Prove to me that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a mercy to everything that exists. How would you answer that question?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like you articulated, Allah puts that as a mission statement, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin, to all the creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is rahmat to all of the creation. And when someone who doesn't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still a source of mercy. Mm-hmm. A source of mercy in institutionalizing laws that protect their honor, dignity, protect them from bloodshed, from injustices, from transgressions, let's say, in the legislative side. On the actual human side, in told us that we would not be a believer until we love for each other what we love for ourselves. Told us that sharing is caring, in a sense. يعني حديث أبو أسماء في صحيح الإمام مسلم لا تحصي فيحصي الله عليك. If you don't, if you withhold, you'll be withheld from. Give and you live. Share. And that's a sign that you're actually passing on what Allah has given you and you're calling for more. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he showed me that his rahmah to you. He showed me that verbal violence, he's the first one to articulate, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that verbal violence is a form of violence. Sahih Muslim. Our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when people came and said assalamu alaikum, right? So they're coming to visit him at home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and instead of saying assalamu alaikum, which is a Muslim universal
peace
greeting, peace be upon you, they said assalamu, evil and death may befall you instead. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything, hadith sahih. And Sayyidah Aisha did not say much, but she said what? Wa alaykum assalam. And you know what? You said evil and death may befall us and may befall you too. And you too. Look at the prophetic instruction. He tells her, Ya Aisha, as في لفظ Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ. He uses the word عُنْف. Allah rewards on kindness and does not reward on violence. The first one documentedly to actually say that verbal violence counts as violence is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards people who did maybe who did not believe in the faith or religion or anything. Mercy to everything. Hadith al-Nasa'i fil Mujtaba, which is Hassan, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a small bird, a robin, is killed, it will come in the day of judgment and you will have to answer, why did you kill it for no reason? إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, Hadith Muslim. Allah decreed that you must deal with everything in ihsan, in excellence. And excellence comes after justice, right? Because Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah commands you to establish justice and ihsan and excellence. So it goes beyond justice to excellence. Why? Justice is important as a foundation of society. But an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. Mm-hmm. So go for ihsan. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. So if we can look and see how protection of the environment, the hadith that talk about not polluting water, not polluting the common roads, the trees, hugging a tree, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hugged a tree, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, right?
Documented in a mutawatir hadith.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, so we go hug a tree. That's also part of the prophetic sunnah. Plant a tree. We're planting peace. Because tree is also a symbol of peace, symbol of life, symbol of mercy as well. Because why is it a symbol of mercy? No, you can stone a tree, but the tree will only throw fruits at you. It will not stone you back. So that's why the hadith that is Hassan, if Qiyamah is called, so doomsday is called, the whole universe will be destroyed in its current form. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "And وَبِيَدِي أَحَدِكُمْ fasila," and one of you has a baby palm tree in their hands. Qiyamah is called, and I need to follow right away to answer, and I have a baby palm tree. What do I do? Well, baby palm tree takes 5 years to grow anyway, 10 years to grow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, plant the baby palm tree first, then answer the call of the doomsday.
This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rahmatan lil alamin, as you brilliantly explained, from society to the individual, to the environment, to the wildlife, to the animals,
to everything, the stones. Hadith Muslim, and we can talk here for hours. But Hadith Sahih Muslim, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you said in Sahih Muslim, "Inni la'arifu hajaran kana yusallimu alayya fil Madina." I still remember a stone that we had a greeting exchange in Medina, in Mecca, afwan. Inni la'arifu la'an. I still recognize that stone for that peace relationship we had together. Allah. He recognizes a stone that gives salam to him, alayhi wa alayhi salatu wasalam. He would not recognize a human being that sent salam to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And this is the rich tradition of Islam. But Sheikh, you mentioned something in your statement, and you were saying how, you know, the hadith of the saying, you wish for your brother, what would you like for yourself? I guess nowadays, you know, we live in a time of heedlessness, a lot of ghafla. And I've known, because alhamdulillah, I was fortunate to attend some of your lectures over here, the question has been put to you, how does one move from selfishness to selflessness? And you've used analogy, and you've referenced your book and your commentary on the 40 hadith of mercy, of the statement of when somebody was to say to you, "I love you," what they really mean is, "I love me." So Sheikh, how do we move from the stages of from I to love to you? And more directly, the question would be, how do we move from selfishness to selflessness?
Well, look, Sidi, I think the whole religion is about I love you in a metaphorical way. Our whole faith of Islam is I love you. And in the sense, I love you, O Allah, I love you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love you. And also we live our life with I love you. Mm-hmm. Different yous. But most of the time when people are in the dunya and the I love you, they're really I love me. Mm-hmm. I love you of what you afford me. What is in it for me, I love you. Whether it's a person, whether it's a position, whether it's whatever I get is from it is what I love. I really, and therefore, if it's a spouse, if it's once you no longer afford me what I used to love from you, I no longer love you. Mm-hmm. Well, because I really never loved you. I only loved me.
Just lip service. Mm.
And I loved what I got from you. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that we move from one station, I, to love, to you. And where did that idea come to me, to be honest with you? It's from the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, hadith Jibreel, the one that's famous, right? Mm. Iman, Islam, Ihsan, right? Sahih al-Bukhari, Muslim. وترتيب مسلم إيمان إسلام إحسان. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about الإحسان, he said that you worship him as if you are witnessing him. So I said, well, that's I love you. you worship him, I love you. Because the essence of worship is love. Remove love out of worship and you have no worship at all.
Allah. It's very true.
That foundationally definitive. Mm-hmm. Remove love out of worship. You have no worship. Remove love out of deen. You have no deen.
It becomes ego worshiping in a sense.
It's no more deen. It's whatever it is, a set of rituals that you're doing. But it's no longer deen. The heart is no longer part of the equation. Mm-hmm. Right? You're leaving it. You're coming to the masjid. You're leaving your heart where the shoe racks are. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to bring it in. All right. So you worship him is I love you. Mm-hmm. As if you are seeing, as if you're witnessing him, really no more I or love, as if you're witnessing him, only you. Mm-hmm. Because if you worship him as if you witness your worship, you are not really in ihsan. You're not worshiping him as if you're witnessing him. You worship him and you witness your ibadah, or salah, or siyam, mm-hmm. your worship. Or you worship him as if you witness yourself worshiping. Even worse, not worshiping your witnessing your worship. You worship yourself worshiping. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words was, you worship him as if you witness him, not your worship, not yourself, nothing but him. So I love you. Mm. And it's a practice to get to from I to love to you, because once you get one to the other, you no longer see it past the other. You no longer see the one before. Mm-hmm. Once you get from I to love, you no longer see I, because now you're actually experiencing selfless love. Mm-hmm. You live selfless love. Mm-hmm. And it's like the story of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, right? When he saw the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like squash. And he does not necessarily like squash, Ibn Umar. But from that point on, Ibn Umar forgot the I, it became love. Mm-hmm. So you know what? From that point on, I just love squash. No more I, love squash. Mm-hmm. Because I am in love now. There's no more I anymore in it, in the love. Eventually, once it's all you, it's you. And I take you to the hadith also for Sahih, where Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes and comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, why did you come? He says, I want to take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just want to fill my gaze with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I and love no longer become in the picture, only you become in the picture.
La ilaha illallah. I heard one sheikh from Sydney, Sheikh Hassan, he said a beautiful commentary on that hadith, and ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tara, to worship Allah as though you see him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ
تَرَى
If you don't exist, you see him. To just remove yourself and it's just Allah. I wanted to move on to the next question, and that was the importance of mercy. We've spoken about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the absolute pinnacle manifestation of mercy. But you've also mentioned about three levels, Iman, Islam, Ihsan. How dangerous is it to remove mercy from your Islam? To just have Islam, like for instance, just the textbook Islam,
just the fiqh,
just the rulings, just the ahkam, and to completely be dissolved of any attribute of mercy. How dangerous is that to your Islam?
Yeah, Allah bless you. I think based on the hadith that you just very well pointed to, we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tells us, actually, if you love the Bukhari, هَذَا جِبْرِيلُ جَاءَ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. This is Jibreel came to teach you your deen. Mm. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes deen these three things. Mm-hmm. Iman, Islam, Ihsan. Now, I look at these three things as aqaid, ahkam, akhlaq. Meaning, Iman is aqaid,
the creed.
Islam is ahkam, law, do, don't. And Ihsan is value system, akhlaq. Mm. What we've been focused on in the past 40 years, 50 years or so, is Islam, law. Even in Sunday schools, Saturday schools, mosques, lots of places, lots of the focus, the lectures, right? We spend 20 years in do, don't, salah, do, don't.
Very
do
textbook. This,
right? It's very technical, and we're teaching law. So what we've managed to do is graduate law students. Mm. lawyers.
Nothing against law students by any chance?
No. Nothing against law students whatsoever. If you'd like, take a dip in the, to prove that there's nothing wrong, take a dip in the seas around Sydney and meet the sharks. They will not touch you. There's common professional courtesy. I'm just kidding. The idea here is obviously, look, there's not, we need the law and we need lawyers. But to reduce the faith to a set of do and don't, and to make people think from only a frame of law, which is, again, a great frame to all my lawyer friends, Allah bless you, it is reductionist to say the least. We need to focus on aqaid first. Why am I Muslim? Who is Allah? Why is he worthy of worship? What are his attributes? Why is nothing else is worthy of worship but him? How do I get to know his attributes and him? How do I experience his closeness and love? We need to know. Who is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is he the truthful prophet, just like Moses and Jesus, Isa and Musa and Abraham, right? And then we go to the value system, which is ihsan, akhlaq, right? And akhlaq is applied tawheed. That's how dangerous this is. Value system in Islam is the applied creed. So we have creed, law, applied creed. How? Look at all the ahadith about akhlaq and about value system. Hadith al-Bukhari an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fal yukrim dayfa. For example, whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment should honor his guest, should honor his neighbor, right? لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه. Notice, one of you would not be a believer until you love for your fellow brother in humanity what you love for yourself.
It's tied with your iman.
Wow. First, the Prophet ﷺ puts iman. Your faith is not there, is incomplete if your akhlaq are not present. Mm. That's why people who have no value system, no akhlaq, their problem is not that they have no tarbiyah. Their problem is their iman. The very iman is in question. Mm-hmm. So the danger of not having mercy and love as prime Muhammadan character, as the foundation of our faith, love and unconditional mercy, is not simply not paying attention to some small details. The question is no love, no faith at all.
Mm. No ilaha illallah. The way we deal with Allah primarily, and the way we deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way we deal with each other.
That's really important. Just on that, actually, Kamal, in the hadith book, Sheikh, there was a hadith that mentioned that Allah has placed 100 mercies between the earth and the heavens, subhanAllah. And this is not just restricted to myself or you, but for everyone, even the drunk man, I'm sure, Sheikh.
Yes. Yeah. Look, the hadith, the Book of Mercy is written by Imam Ibn Tolon, al-Hanafi rahimahullah, died year 953, right? And he collected 40 ahadith on mercy. And one of the themes that are repeated, which is really amazing in a sense, and it's mind-boggling because we really can't comprehend it, comprehend the magnitude of the mercy of Allah. Obviously, it should not be comprehended. It's beyond the creation anyway. Mm-hmm. But even trying to comprehend it in a way that's suitable to me, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Allah, when he willed for mercy to be created, he created 100 portions of mercy. He gave all the creation, from the beginning of the creation till the end, only one portion out of 100. From that portion, the parents love their children, and the animals love their children, and everything has mercy and love in the universe from its beginning till the end, from only one portion. Out of 100 portions of mercy, merciful love. Now we're saying rahmah is merciful love that Allah spared for the creation on the Day of Judgment. And so that means there's, if you collect all the loving mercy from the beginning till the end of the creation, it's all amount to one portion, and Allah left 99 for you. That's why I say most people will be in shock and awe of Allah's overwhelming mercies, merciful love in the Day of Judgment. And that also that mercy teaches us things, teaches us to be more, live mercy, not just be merciful. Live it. Live that mercy. Experience that mercy. And when you live love and mercy, sort of inhale love, exhale, you start exhaling gratitude.
SubhanAllah.
Thank you, Ya Allah, for your mercy. And the Quran tells us, Alhamdulillah, الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. Thank you, Ya Allah, that you've guided me to do this. When I did good, it's your guidance. You sent me a prophet to teach me how to do good. You gave me the energy to do good. You facilitated for me. I don't really deserve the credit, but out of your mercy, it's your grace that I am experiencing. So thank you for allowing me to do good. And living mercifully is, you know what, the issue of the drunkard that we were talking about earlier. And allegedly, and this is a story, it's not necessarily Dean, but in the sense, it gives us an understanding of how some of the scholars who lived mercy, understood loving mercy. And I'll tell you one thing. Allah in Surah Al-Rahman says what? Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran. Yeah. The shortest one surah, the shortest word as a verse, Ar-Rahman. Bismillah ar-Rahman, ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, the loving, merciful. علم القرآن. Wait. The loving, merciful taught, gave knowledge, ilm of the Quran. Shouldn't it be al-alim, علم? The all-knowing taught al-Quran?
The most suitable attribute.
Yeah. You would think, no. Not the all-knowing, علم. Ar-Rahman. Why? Allah in the Quran is teaching us in this surah that love and mercy are the imams, the leader of knowledge. And knowledge without having an imam is lost, is weaponized knowledge. Mm. It's not merciful knowledge. It's knowledge without a purpose and without a meaning. It becomes information, no more knowledge. Therefore, Allah, when He describes Al-Khadr alayhi salam in the Quran with Musa, He says, عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا رَحْمَةً وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. We have given this Al-Khadr rahmah, then we taught him to tell you that if you have no rahmah and love, you have no ilm. You just have information.
Wow. That's a mind blowing.
So therefore, living that example, like Al-Khadr, rahmah, ilm. Musa alayhi salam, rahma ilm. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahma ilm, right? Ra'uf and Rahim, yes, like yes, you mentioned. Yes. Ilm, right? That's why when Allah azza wa jal described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He did not say, wa innaka la'ala ilmin azim. Yeah. His ilm is azim, no doubt, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, wa innaka la'ala khuluq. Your character of rahma. Your manifestation of loving mercy, Ya Rasulullah. Your characters are just azim. Right? And to that, you see, non-prophets, such as, let's say, a personality that's, I think, agreed upon, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah, one of the righteous people that have lived in our history, and we hold him to be amongst the awliya of Allah, inshallah. لَنَتَأَلَّا نَحْسَبُهُ كَذَلِكَ وَلَا نُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Okay, allegedly, and that's again a story that they used to tell people, that he was walking in Baghdad, that's where he used to live. He was walking in Baghdad one day with his students, passing by in downtown Baghdad. And there was a drunkard there on the side. So the students of Sheikh Abdul Qadir, they rushed up to push the drunkard a little bit to the side to make ways for their pure sheikh, the homeless drunkard there on the streets. So as Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani allegedly walks by this homeless drunkard, the homeless drunkard looks up to him and says, Ya Abdul Qadir, no sheikh, nothing, right? And that's okay. That's okay. They used to call Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, or Umar, or Umar. You don't have to call. Respecting people doesn't mean you call them titles. right? It's okay. And the students should not make those who do that shish kebabs.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's okay. Love is actually in the heart, and it's manifested in the conduct. Mm. It's okay. Please. This title mania needs to stop. Really. Anyway, off tangent. So this drunkard, homeless allegedly, tells him, Ya Abd al-Qadir. Abd al-Qadir means the slave of al-Qadir, the slave of the mighty, right? Of the powerful. He says, Ya Abd al-Qadir. He looks up to him and says, Ya Abd al-Qadir. Qadir am ghair Qadir. Can he or can't he? Like that. And allegedly, Sheikh Abd al-Qadir says Qadir. Humbly so, he says Qadir. Then he wants to walk. Sheikh Abd al-Qadir continues to walk. The man calls him, say, Ya Abd al-Qadir. He stops. He tells him, he lifts up lifts up his face to him and says, Qadir am ghair Qadir. Can he or can't he? Hmm. Allegedly, Sheikh Abd al-Qadir says, Bala, Qadir. He can. Then he wants to move with his students. And then the man shouts for the last, Abd al-Qadir. Before you go, wait. Qadir am ghair Qadir. Can he or can't he? And they say that's when Sheikh Abd al-Qadir broke down in tears. And went down on the floor in the sense, sat down, said, Bala, Bala, Qadir, 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 and started weeping. So after the event allegedly finishes, the students of Sheikh Abd al-Qadir Jilani ask him, they said, what happened here? What is can he or can't he? And you give answers and then you fall, you break down in tears. What's going on? We didn't understand anything.
What was he saying?
Yeah, what was he saying? He said, the first time when he told me Qadir am ghair Qadir, as if I understood from his nonverbal communication with me, that he's telling me, your students and you people are looking down at me because I'm drunkard and homeless and my clothes are dirty and all this. And can he purify me and clean me and make me a normal person and not drunkard? Can he or can't he? Why are you looking at me like, can he or can't he? He says, yes, he can. I said, okay, the second one. He said, Ya Abd al-Qadir, can he or can't he? Not just clean me up and make me a good person. Can he make me a wali of Allah instantaneously? Can he, from being drunkard, homeless, can he will for me to be a wali of Allah, a friend of him, instantaneously now change me from my state to another state, entirely flips my heart and change me? Can he or can't he? He can. He says he can. That's why Muslims look at people as either wali or potential wali. Everybody.
That's so true. Sidi, Sheikh, I think the Moroccans have a saying that, you know, you consider everyone that you meet a friend of God, and that's the way how you treat them. I think Hafiz, you know, a great poet in our tradition said, you know, how amazing would this world be if everyone was to actualize and realize that everyone here is a friend of God in this grand banquet.
How we treat everyone so much better. Be cautious.
Absolutely. The last point of the story is one. Why did you break down in tears? Sheikh Abd al-Qadir. They said the last one was difficult, allegedly. Because he looked at me and he said, Ya Abd al-Qadir, can he or can't? Qadir am ghair. Is Allah Qadir or not Qadir? I said, Bala Qadir. And he broke in tears. He said, can he change me from my state now?
Mm-hmm.
And put me in your state and change your state and put you in my state.
No, 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 no.
SubhanAllah.
Don't take guidance for granted. Don't take guidance as self-righteous. Mm. Be grateful to the Creator. Thank Him. Ask Him to use you in that which is good. Look at all the creation with an eye of mercy and love.
Sure. That was a beautiful analogy. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I guess the whole essence of this conversation is mercy, but I think along with that comes forgiveness. The whole essence is to come in to witness this divine reality, to become a person of the time. And I guess what you said in one of your classes beforehand is that, you know, when you come and you say, Astaghfirullah, don't just say it with your tongue, but say it with your heart. And I recall the practices that you tried to, we were closing our eyes and we were trying to say that. And I don't think you can do the you can't do the two at the same time, otherwise you're not doing it properly. If you were to close your eyes, and for those at home, I would try this out. You're closing your eyes and you're internalizing Astaghfirullah. It's you're writing it on your heart. You're making that sincere repentance. Don't just say it with your tongue. If you were to say it with your tongue and your heart at the same time, I'm sure if you're doing it properly, you wouldn't be able to do it. My question to that would be, Sheikh, and I know this is quite a big question, but if you could give us perhaps three or even two practical steps, how does one come to Allah with a clean heart?
Allah. The Quran and the Sunnah. Not as slogans, not as memorization, but as a way of life. And one step at a time, one Sunnah at a time. But I'll give you an example. I think that, you know, since you brought this issue of presence with Allah, right? Basically, you're saying Astaghfirullah. It shouldn't be lip service. It should be, I am actually worshiping Him as if I am seeing Him. Mm-hmm. I am in His presence. Well, the fact is, you're always in His presence. Mm. The fact is, He's always present. The issue is, most of the time, you're not. Mm. So, bringing awareness that we are in His presence, because He's always present anyway, well, refines us by itself. You see, we will not do wrong or sin so long we are fully conscious of His presence. Mm-hmm. The only way people sin is when they're what? They turn their awareness of His presence off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So even being in the maqam of ihsan at a basic level, mm-hmm. witnessing Him will actually prevent you from doing wrong because you are in His presence. Mm-hmm. All right. So they have this also. We told the story. We'll tell another short story. Sahl ibn Abdullah Tushtari, one of the Salaf in the old days, mm-hmm. right? And they told him allegedly when he was 5-6 years old, go play hide and seek. Hide and seek seems to be an ancient game. I don't know. You know, we all played it, right? Under the bed, etc., whatever. And when, but they told the teacher told him kindergarten in the old days, 1,000-some years ago, go hide somewhere where no one sees you. Mm. All kids run, one under the tree, one whatever, one digs a hole in the sand, something. And this 5-6-year-old kid doesn't go anywhere. Sahl ibn Abdullah Tushtari, allegedly. And the teacher says, why are you still here? He said, teacher, you said go hide somewhere where no one sees you. But everywhere I go, Allah sees me.
SubhanAllah, wali kid.
Right? Yeah. It's a basic principle that the parents taught, for mm-hmm. example. So therefore, when we say Alhamdulillah, lip service, versus like Sahl ibn Abdullah Tushtari, we go to the deeper level.
Mm.
Close your eyes. Sometimes, you don't have to, but just so you can collect yourself. Right? It's not mandated, but close your eyes, collect yourself onto Allah Azza wa Jal's presence and say in your heart without moving your lips, Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Ya Allah. Now then try to say it with your lips as well, along with your heart. Please let your tongue translate the state of your heart
mm-hmm.
so it has a reality. It's like saying, I love you, but not from the heart.
Mm.
Please connect your tongue to the heart so that the tongue translates what the heart says. The Arab Jahili poet used to say, إِنَّ الْكَلَامَ لَفِي الْفُؤَادِ وَإِنَّ مَا جُعِلَ اللِّسَانُ عَلَى الْفُؤَادِ دَلِيلًا. The real speech is in the heart. The tongue merely translates the states of the heart.
SubhanAllah.
That's very beautiful.
May we all be seekers.
And become present with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh, I think it's only necessary that whenever we speak about mercy, we should also go to the other side of mercy.
Fear.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about Himself in the Quran, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي tell my servants that I am the Ghafoor, I am the merciful, I am the compassionate, I am the forgiving. However, also know that my punishment is severe. In another verse, اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب وأن الله غفور رحيم. Know that Allah is severe in His punishment, but He's also very merciful, very forgiving. How does one attain this balance within their mindset, within their understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, as we mentioned, more merciful to His abd than a mother is to her own child.
But that's actually one of the hadith that's mentioned in the book.
In the book. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of being feared. How do we attain that balance? A difficult question, but a necessary question.
No, absolutely. The attributes of Allah are not exclusive, mutually exclusive. For one to be the right, the other one needs to be out. No. Allah created this universe or this creation on the basis of justice. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى.
An atom's worth of good.
Atom worth of good, you will see. An atom worth of evil, you will see. Being Allah being the all-merciful is definitive. Allah being the all-just is also definitive. Islam does not tell you that people can get away with murder and rape and bloodshed of innocent people. There is no such getting away. In fact, if you are a person of faith, you know that the smallest thing you do, you will of evil, you will not get away with it, even if it's a thought. And that's why when people do evil recklessly, the issue is not really in their upbringing and value system. The issue is really in their faith. Their faith is problematic or deficient. They don't believe in Allah, the creator, the all-seeing, the all-hearing, the all-knowing, the just. And therefore, to that, the Prophet ﷺ tells us in the authentic hadith, في الصحيح, أتدرون من المفلس? Do you know who's the bankrupt? قالوا يا رسول الله, المفلس فينا من لا درهم له ولا دينار. The bankrupt is the one who doesn't have any money. Prophet ﷺ changes that. No. The bankrupt is the one who comes, now genuinely, prayed genuinely, gave charity genuinely, did all these things genuinely, not the munafiq, not the hypocrite, not the one who did not believe, he just wanted to have a social position and build a fame. And no. This is the one who genuinely prayed.
Sincere.
Clean but heart. He comes and he took the right of that one. He slandered that person. He belittled that person. He insulted that person. It's not talking even about bloodshed here. The hadith is talking about what? قَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He stole the money of that person and he's insulted and backbit that person. And they will all take from all his deeds that he worked so sincerely for until he's got nothing left. That's the justice of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
So when we talk about the mercy and the mercy should not be divorced of the justice of the Creator. Because the first thing that you will be judged on is the rights of others. That's where your rights end and the rights of others begin. So therefore, where does the mercy then happen? Then even in that? Well, first of all, Allah in that picture of balance between justice and mercy. Well, first is Allah Azza wa Jal gave us a lot more reward for good and reduced the action of evil to only one. So you do good multiplied by 10. You do evil is one. Look at the mercy.
SubhanAllah.
Right? And then furthermore, he gives us an ayah in the Quran that I think is automatically designed to make everybody instantaneous wali of Allah if they do it. Absolutely. You don't need anything. You don't need any system. And I always say to all, I don't want to mention any names, but any terms. You don't need to follow anything. If you just follow this, you'll become a wali of Allah. You don't need anything.
Everyone needs to pause the video right now, to get your pen and papers out and take notes of this. This is going to be something
A simple ayah in the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman. Look at coming from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The all-loving, merciful, the all-loving, merciful. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. If you avoid the grave, grave evil deeds, we will forgive your small ones. So that's how the mercy overcomes now the wrath. If you avoid, meaning as if the Quran is saying, you do evil, you're weak, you're going to do wrong. But I say always, don't ever plan to sin. You may sin.
It's very important.
Yeah. Don't ever plan to sin. Destructive is the planning for your spirituality. Don't plan. You may sin, but don't plan. Anyway, going to the ayah. Avoid the grave ones. No killing, no bloodshed, no, right?
No rights of others. Yeah.
Exactly. Kabair. You in tajtanibu kabair. Only if you avoid the grave sins, we shall forgive you for the other ones.
No.
Welcome to the mercy of Allah.
The one that gets me the most, I have to say, the hadith that gets me the most is the hadith that, you know, we don't know the throne of Allah, the greatest creation of Allah. Forget the universe, forget the Milky Way, forget the galaxies, forget the sun, the
Mars,
the giant stars. The throne of Allah, Allah wrote on it that my mercy prevails over my wrath. Ya Allah.
The decree is as such.
Sheikh, I would want to ask you just on that. Can we be guilty of misplacing mercy? Because some people, in their nature, it is to be very soft and very generous, and may Allah reward them for being such. You know, it's for me, it's a very beautiful quality to see that. But can we ever be guilty of misplacing mercy? Because we have maybe somebody may have, you know, helping someone out, and the burden becomes too much. Is there a line that we need to draw where we need to stop giving, and in order, you know, as the analogy is, put the mask on ourselves on the plane before we can help someone else?
Yeah. That's a very good question. Look, in Islam, unlike a very common Christian concept, and our Christian brothers in humanity, we share a lot of things with them, obviously. But if someone slaps you on the right cheek, do not turn left cheek to them. So save yourself from further abuse. But never stop giving, even if they're not worthy of receiving. Meaning, do not put your perception of worthiness of others as a standard for your giving. Your giving ought to be unconditional, just like Allah gives you unconditionally. Allah gives you when you're worthy of receiving and when you're not worthy of receiving, and He asks you to give to those who are worthy of receiving and to those who are not worthy of receiving. And if you withhold, you'll be withheld from. That's why the hadith that's Hassan to Ka'b radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, goes further than that. He says, Ya Ka'b, sil man qata'ak. Oh Ka'b, connect to those who sever you. Wa a'ti man haramak, and give those who deprive you. Wa'fu an man zalamak, and forgive those who wrong you. You see, it's the prophetic point and the Quranic push is as if it is, which is also biblically rooted here. If you're good to those who are good to you, then what good are you? Allah tells us, hal jaza'u al-ihsan illa al-ihsan? Isn't the reward that Allah has done you good unconditionally, except that you actually do unto His creation also good unconditionally? That's why Allah in the Quran says, wa ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. Not just do good, but do good just like Allah has done you good.
Is there a red line though? I think that question entails, is there a red line when you, this is my line, you know, someone's done wrong to you, I'm not going to be, I guess, you know, bitten by the same hole twice or something like that. I need to know where to draw my lines and my boundaries.
I guess that would be a case-by-case scenario as well.
Look, Islam asks you, again, like I said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, do not turn the other cheek. So means what? Preventive measures for further liabilities.
Yes.
Do not make yourself out there for abuse. That's one thing. Protect yourself from abuse and dhulm and all that. But do not stop giving. They're two different tracks. You see? So it's like when the two children of Adam, alayhi salam, in the Quran, right? He says, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. If you extend your hand to kill me, I will not extend my hand to kill you at any circumstance. I will defend myself. But in my niyyah of defense, it will never be aggression towards you. I just want to defend myself from your aggression, and I'm still always going to try to give.
You know, as you were mentioning, the Prophet ﷺ, just by his mere touch, people would feel his essence, and they would, subhanAllah, words cannot even describe, but just by his touch and his presence alone. And we know that the Prophets, you know, they were all sinless, but the Prophet ﷺ, as Aisha would say, Ya Rasulullah, why are you praying so late in the night? Because, you know, you've been forgiven for all things, but he goes, am I not a thankful servant? Sheikh, I want to do one last thing. This is a beautiful book, the Book of Love, I have to say. It is basically what you could say is a book of aphorisms, a book of sayings. And if I could get you just to expand on one, there's plenty here. So if anyone's at home watching, make sure you check out the Book of Love. But because the book's here and you're here, perhaps we could get you to explain maybe just one quote, if you don't mind. Real talk is from the heart, not the tongue. Speak from your heart all you want. I will never be bored. Sheikh, if you could elaborate on that, JazakAllah, we would really appreciate that.
You know, the point of that is, like we talked about, Alhamdulillah, right? From your heart. Or telling people, I love you, actually from your heart. Or telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali wa sallam, with your heart, I love you. When you speak to me from your mind and your tongue, my mind may be intellectually stimulated, you know, to a certain span. Speak to me from your heart. I'll never be bored. And the idea behind the Book of Love, real quick, the all-loving, Al-Wadud, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the name of Allah, the all-loving, sent his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach love. Al-Quran is نزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة, healing and loving mercy. So the all-loving sent his beloved to teach love, with love, for love, to love, by love.
SubhanAllah. You put it best, Sheikh.
That's the deen of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's our deen. That's our religion. That's the religion of the Muslimin. Nation of love, a nation of loving mercy.
Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us, Sheikh. It's been an absolute honor. And to those watching at home, thank you for tuning in and supporting One Path Network. It's, you know, it's been an absolute honor to present such a Sheikh with us, but this would not have been possible without your support, your love, and your du'as. So, jazakallah khairan. And any final words from yourself, Kamal, Sheikh?
The Sheikh.
Love Allah, love people.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast.
I know I did.
We know that a lot of people that view our content aren't subscribed. So please be sure to hit the bell for notifications, subscribe, and like the video to stay up to date with all our latest releases.
This podcast is also streaming on all your favorite platforms, including Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcast, plus a lot more.
Until next time.
Assalamu alaikum.